As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
Every single day I come in here, I think about winning. You know, I don't do this year round to come in and not make the playoffs. I'm sick of that shit, and I want to keep winning.
You're listening to The State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. I believe the name of this show is State of the Nation. I believe I'm Jimmy Durkin. I think that's Vic, Tafer, Sean Reed, Ted Nguyen. It's been a while. You guys still around?
Yeah, we're still here.
Hey, man, we're alive. Ted was on time today. It was a podcast
first. Right. Ted was on time. Holy smokes, man. That's awesome.
We're doing great.
I'm either the earliest by like 10 minutes or the latest by 10 minutes. There's no in between.
Well, obviously, it has been a long time. Back February, did we do something pre-combine? It's been a long time since we've been with you guys. Everyone's been tweeting us, asking us where the hell is State of the Nation. We do have to announce that this will be our final episode of State of the Nation, at least in this iteration, in this form, under this name, under this feed. You know, some of you guys may have noticed, you know, pay attention to other podcasts here at The Athletic, that the company has kind of slowly whittled away from supporting local team podcasts, and so some shows have either gone away or moved on to other ventures. And so for us, this will be our final show. Other part of the reason is that you know, I took a promotion shortly around the Super Bowl, and kind of has me dealing with more responsibilities and making my time to be able to dedicate to this show a little bit tougher. And so because of that, this will be our final show. We do want to send you off with a bang, and I don't think this will necessarily be the last you hear from Vic, Tashawn, and Ted, but this will be the final show here on the feed.
So basically, it's Jimmy's fault. He got a promotion. He's too big time for us, and he just can't keep it going. So it's his fault. No, I'm just kidding, Jimmy. Congratulations for promotion, and we'll miss having you on.
You guys are the boots on the grounds anyway.
Yeah, hopefully, I think before long, we should have some kind of announcement. We're working on getting a new platform. We'll have a new name, what it looks like. But definitely stay tuned to all our social media feeds, and we'll give you updates. But wheels are in motion, so I think we'll have some good news shortly. Tashawn, nothing?
Tashawn is just stunned silence. He's got nothing to say, nothing to add.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to word it.
How about bye, fuckers?
A little careful, but yeah, we won't be here anymore, but we'll be somewhere. That's basically the summary.
We need some idea names. Maybe the fans can give us a new name for our pod and just make something cool.
I mean, back in the day, we did a name the podcast contest. Vic and I, we did a contest. We even gave away a free subscription to The Athletic. That's how State of the Nation came to be. You know, I should actually go pull up that file and see some. I have it somewhere. All the name suggestions we had. I'll see if by the end of the show if I can find that file, and that could be fun.
That's probably enough about us. Let's talk about the draft. People are excited about this draft, man. It's a big draft for the Raiders.
Number 13 pick. What are they doing? I mean, we know, and we talked a lot about how much they would like to move up and get a quarterback. Jaden Daniels being the main guy they probably are interested in, does not seem like that is going to be possible.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Telesco, he spoke to the media on Monday, and he said that they have a plan to trade up and also a plan to stay at 13 and also a plan to trade back. So they have a plan for everything. So we got, you know, pretty much zero insight from him, which is pretty typical for those pre-draft press conferences. But, you know, we've heard some things filtering out the last couple of weeks. I know today, I believe it was NFL Network reported that the Raiders were one of the teams that tried to call the Commanders about trading for the number two pick and got denied. And so they've been sniffing around, but it just doesn't seem realistic. I mean, asking one of those teams in that top three or even the top five to go all the way to down to 13 is just a pretty tall ask. And then on top of that, there's other teams that are going to be in the mix as well, whether it's the Vikings at 11 or the Broncos at 12 or, you know, maybe even the Giants at six. And so the odds are just stacked against them when it comes to trying to get those one of those top three guys or even McCarthy, you know, if he's the fourth guy off the board. So it's looking like it'll be pretty tough for him to get a quarterback amongst that top tier group.
Yeah, there's been some news lately that the Patriots are fielding calls, but I mean, I think to get that third pick, it's going to be a king's ransom. And like you said, the Vikings have the most attractive trade package. They have two first round picks this year. And then the Giants might have a good trade package because they have the sixth pick. And if New England does want to trade down or the Cardinals want to trade down, they could just go down to six instead of falling down like, you know, the seven spots or eight spots or whatever. I just don't see a realistic path for the Raiders to trade up. And I just never really saw it as a possibility for those top three teams to trade down because next year's draft class is so bleak when it comes to quarterbacks. And it seems like this is a year to get a quarterback, which is why there's going to be a real possibility that for the first time ever, it might be one, two, three, four quarterbacks with the first four picks of the draft.
I lost my train of thought because Jimmy's sending us messages of the failed names for our show. One was Yakking Black. That was actually a suggestion.
I've only said like half of them.
Yakking Black. That's
the Autumn Windbags, the CTE show.
Autumn Windbags. That's not bad. Anyway, so yeah, I think you guys, I mean, have covered it. I think it was always kind of far-fetched, the Jaden Daniels dream. I think now you look at it as we're 2 days away. You never know what's going to happen, but it sure seems like he's going to go second or third, probably second. And I think, like you mentioned, so many teams need quarterbacks. So if you're the Raiders now, you got to shift your focus. Like, how high are you willing to take Michael Penix? Are you willing to trade for him up in the first round? Where is he going to go? Or do you take the best player available at 13? And there are some really good players available both at cornerback and at tackle. So that's where I think they're going to go, but we'll see.
Hey, do you guys think that it's a possibility that one of these guys has a fall like Will Levis did last year and we're just hyping up these quarterbacks too much right now?
I've heard like from a couple of people that think the McCarthy thing might be a little bit of a smokescreen. Let's say the Cardinals stay put at four and the Chargers stay put at five. And the Giants go receiver at six, you kind of start running out of teams at the top end of the top 10 that could potentially, you know, go get him. You know, maybe he could fall to like eight or nine, maybe. And you know, a team can make a shorter trade to go get him. But I don't see him like falling all the way to the second round or anything crazy like that. But maybe it's toward the lower end of the top 10 instead of number four overall. But I don't see him taking a massive slot.
It seems like the X factor is the Vikings. They have those two picks in the first round. They want to move up. They need a quarterback pretty badly. So that's a team I think could trade up to four or five or six and get McCarthy if he's there. Or if the Patriots shock the world and take McCarthy third, then I'm sure teams will be vying for Drake May at four. So I still think there'll be probably the top four picks of the quarterbacks. But, you know, we never really know because a lot of it is smoke, but the smoke's been pretty thin so far.
If he is there at five, I mean, the Chargers sound very, very motivated to want to trade down. So it's, I mean, which I think if he's there at five, you're going to have a team that's probably going to want to move up for him. If he's not there at five, then it might become a little bit harder for them to trade down. But yeah, it seems like five is probably the lowest he could go just because the Chargers have kind of signaled that they really would like to move out of that and pick up some extra picks.
And the one thing we don't know is, I mean, I don't know if the Raiders really have any interest in McCarthy. I don't think so, but no one's telling me that for sure. I just think he's kind of a wild card. You know, obviously he has a skill set, but in college he kind of, they were so good, he handed the ball off all the time. And he made some throws here and there, but I think any kind of projection right now is purely a guess. You really don't know for sure. You haven't seen him do enough reps in college games. We've made big throws and big moments or shown his range of skills. So I think it's that pick requires some imagination, especially if you're in a trade-up form.
My sense is it's probably a little bit too much imagination for them to pay the price that it would take to go get him. It's one thing if he's sitting there at 13 and you can just take him without giving up a bunch of extra capital. But to give up, I don't know, future first round picks, which they probably would have to do. I just don't think they believe in him that much. And you know, that's part of the reason why you sign, you know, Gardner Minshew to a 2-year, $25 million deal is so you don't necessarily like have to force it in the first round if you're not 100% sold on a guy. If you can get through a season with Minshew and O'Connell, obviously that's not the most attractive quarterback situation, but your first year regime, you don't necessarily have to figure out your long-term answer right away, I don't think. And so they don't have to force it, in my opinion.
I know one of your popular moves in mock drafts has been taking best defensive guy, best cornerback with it, you know, Tarion Arnold, Quinyon Mitchell. I mean, there's debate which who's one, who's two, and then doing that trade up to the end of the first round for the Michael Penix. There are teams at the end of the first round that could be a viable option. Is that, do you think, the best route for them to go, or the, at least the more, most realistic, because they're not going to get up into the top three?
Yeah, I think at this point, that's the home run. I think that's the one, if you really want to get a quarterback you can build around and also get one of the best players in the draft, that's what you got to try and do. But it's going to be tough. Again, getting back in that first round is going to be tough. I think a lot of teams want some of these, so many good tackles in this draft. Teams want tackles. I think teams want quarterbacks. We covered that. I mean, who knows? Penix is kind of a wild card. You really don't know. We can go anywhere from, you know, 10 to 30. I mean, no one really knows where he's going to go. So I think he projects higher than Bo Nix. But again, somebody could love Bo Nix. I mean, you really don't know. No one's going to say, you know, at this point, hey, we love Bo Nix. You know, they're going to keep it a secret. So I think there'll be some surprises as far as those two guys go in the draft on Thursday.
This quarterback class is a little different because the second class of quarterbacks after the top three, there's probably some teams that have late first round grades on Michael Penix and maybe even Bo Nix. But you could see a pathway to these guys being possible starters, you know, like whereas in other classes, the second class of quarterbacks, you're like, okay, these guys are backups. But, you know, how high does Michael Penix go? Right now, there's so much smoke around Michael Penix. You know, I saw a report from a pretty notable reporter saying he might even go like eighth or something, which is kind of crazy to me. But yeah, I mean, do you guys think it's 13 is a possibility? Like, what percentage would you put on 13 to Michael Penix?
I think it's pretty low. I don't
give us a number. We need a number. We need a number. So what's your percentage?
5%.
5%? I'm going to go 19%.
Ooh. Oh, shit.
What do you got? Couldn't commit to the full 20.
What do you got? No, I'm not going 20. 19's as high as I can go. What do you got, Ted? What's your percentage?
I'll say 15.
15? Jimmy, what do you got?
12 and a half.
Well, wow, we're all over the board. All right, so we'll write those down, see who wins. But I think
going to determine who wins?
Nah, we're moving on.
You would win if they hit.
I would win. Yeah, I think it's bad value. Obviously, I think he's a good quarterback, and you know, we mentioned the projections kind of range. I mean, he's got the biggest concern with him was his medicals, but it seems he's been cleared so far. Everyone's kind of been not having that concern as of right now. So I just think in terms of this board and where you're at 13. You can get an impact guy at cornerback, impact guy at tackle. I think Penix is still a little bit of a question mark. I know you desperately want a quarterback, but to me, that's just bad value in a draft. That's been the problem with the Raiders historically, is they don't get good value with their first round picks.
Yeah, and I think they're in a situation now where just because they're addressing a need doesn't mean they're like reaching for need. Like because of how strong this offensive tackle class is and how good these top two corners are, I think both Arnold and Mitchell are both day one starter types. Like, somebody from that group should be on the board at 13, and you're not reaching to take them. You know,
they could still reach for somebody.
You could, but like, there's going to be guys where you don't have to, and you can still get, you know, a starting right tackle or a starting cornerback. And so, I know fans get kind of frustrated sometimes where we're like, oh, they need to fill a need, but sometimes the best player available is like at a position of need. Like, it doesn't have to be one or the other. So, it just would seem like a unnecessary reach to take Penix at 13. Like, you know, even if he's going to be gone by 44, like, you don't necessarily have to have a highly drafted quarterback coming out of this year, I don't think.
I was gonna say, I remember back at the combine, we're talking to Antonio at some point off the side, and he was telling us about just how much a top cornerback would kind of take this defense to another level, a guy who can move the rest of the depth chart down the spot, and plug in, a guy who can make plays and move them around and kind of cause havoc, which they don't really have right now. So I know in his eyes, that would be the next step to his defense to get to a higher level. So we mentioned these two guys that are available probably at 13 are both studs. I mean, the difference is, I think if you like Arnold because he's a little younger and Mitchell's a little faster, but again, they're both guys who make plays, both have you know, just like speed, athletic ability, kind of aggressiveness you want, those kind of guys. So I think there's both exciting options for the Raiders at 13.
Yeah. Do you guys think tackle or corner's a bit more of a need? To me, I think it's corner. I agree with what AP is saying. I mean, well, what position do you think you could find a starter in a second round better, tackle or corner?
Offensive tackle for sure. Yeah, I mean, that's what they, my sense from what they feel is they can get a starting caliber tackle at 44. Whereas cornerback, like maybe you can, like I know there's a couple guys, but like there's perceived to be like a drop off after the top four or five, like corners that are expected to go in the first round that, you know, those guys most likely won't be there at 44 anymore. And so there's just, you know, running the numbers on it or the odds, you'd be better off taking a corner at 13 and probably have better options at tackle at 44. Or maybe quarterback, you know, if I don't know, if Penix falls or Nix falls to 44.
I think Arnold would be a good choice. I like Mitchell, but to me, he seems more like an off-man corner, and I think the Raiders would like a press-man corner. Ideally, you would go corner, tackle, and maybe third round, you could take a shot at Spencer Rattler just so you get another guy with a little bit more arm talent in that quarterback room.
Yeah, we did that this week. Fans didn't seem to like that shit too much. I don't know.
Which part did they didn't like? The Rattler part?
And I wasn't crazy about it either. I mean, I don't think he has a lot of great tape, and some fans thought I was wrong, but I don't know. Teddy, you probably watched more than I have, but he makes some pretty bad throws. I don't know if, I mean, to me, again, it requires a lot of imagination. I don't know if people want to compare him to, like, you know, a guy who can make plays, you know, off schedule and has a good arm, but to me, there's a lot of ugly in this tape. That, I mean, he's going to be a project for sure. The guy has to take a while to develop.
There is a lot of ugly to his tape. He played in a pretty bad team at South Carolina. I did an article about just quarterback mechanics and grading who, you know, how efficient mechanics are and all that. And a lot of these quarterback coaches put Rattler very, very high. One guy even thought he had just better natural mechanics than Caleb Williams. So I think a lot of coaches are just looking at Spencer Rattler as, like, you know, a ball of clay that they could possibly shape. And, you know, there were some character concerns at Oklahoma. Supposedly it's gotten a lot better. He's matured more at South Carolina, but yeah, the issue is he's not very big. He's a smaller guy, but as far as throwing the ball, you know, and arm talent and just efficiency, he's very strong in those areas.
Yeah. With Rattler, like as a third round pick, I don't think there'd be a ton of pressure for him to like start right away this year, especially with them having Minshew and O'Connell on the roster. So if he needs a red shirt year to develop, I think that's fine. And, you know, once you get into the third round, I don't think that's like an issue to take a guy that might have to be a backup for a year.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Vic, Tashawn, you guys dropped your big board, your final pre-draft big board on here on Tuesday. I think 58 names is who ended up on it. Guys from day one, day two, day three. You know, we've talked about the quarterbacks, we've talked about the cornerbacks, and some of the linemen. Who's your favorite? You know, maybe day three. You know, day two or day three sleeper that you like in there.
Well, Deshaun mentioned it. I'm a big fan of Mike Samuels still, the guy from Michigan. I think he can play corner, can play a little safety, he can move around. I think he makes plays. A little undersized is why I think he'll probably fall a little bit in the draft, but you watch his tape, he jumps out to me. I also like Jaden Hicks, the safety out of Washington State, probably third round type guy, a guy who can be an impact player, I think, pretty quickly. So those are two guys come to mind for me as far as day two.
I like Spencer Rattler, man. I'm going to go with him. I like it. I like it. I'm going to stick with it. I think he's kind of interesting to me. That obviously was a big five-star recruit coming out of high school, and at one point was in the way too early mock drafts as like a number one overall pick, and people kind of forgot about him. But I think he still has a lot of talent, arm talent, and you know, he's a guy that should be in a pretty realistic position for the Raiders to land potentially on day two without having to spend a bunch of future draft capital. And you know, he would just add some upside to that quarterback room that I think currently isn't there. And it's a pretty low risk move, in my opinion, because like if he doesn't pan out, like a third round pick isn't going to stop you from exploring your quarterback options in the future. So, you know, just in terms of value, I think he's somebody that the upside could be worth a swing.
How about Braden Fisk, the guy that got the Max Crosby shout out? What about adding a guy on the defensive line? I mean, you know, obviously they added Christian Wilkins, so they don't need the front line guy necessarily, but a developmental guy that could pair well with Max Crosby.
I like Braden Fisk a lot. I think he's one guy that's probably all over the place for people because he's undersized at 290 and has very short arms. But when I watch him, he's super disruptive, very good hands. He handles double teams pretty well for a guy that's 290 pounds, but high motor player and has a lot of moves in his arsenal. I think they have too many other needs at other spots to get him in a second round, but he's there in the third round. I think that's great value.
Yeah, I like him. I think he's a kind of a luxury pick, and I also think he'd probably go between where they pick the second and third rounds, my guess. So I think 44 is a little high for a guy who don't necessarily need him, even if you love the guy. And I think he won't be around probably in the third round, is my guess. But definitely an exciting prospect. I see where Max likes him. Definitely a guy who you watch him and you hear him, and definitely sounds like he'll be a player on the next level.
Yeah, I think the Raiders, like with their first two picks, I think because of while they made the Christian Wilkins signing in free agency, they didn't really make any other significant moves outside of Minshew. So like, they've kind of backed themselves into a corner a little bit at offensive tackle and cornerback, so and quarterback to a degree. So I think they have to factor need into, you know, those first two picks wherever they end up picking in the first round and the second round. But I think once they get to the third round, you know, whether they have a defensive tackle or not, or insert another player at another position or not, I think they're just going to go full, like, whoever they consider to be the best player. While this team rallied at the end of last season, I think they view this roster as one that needs a lot of work, for sure. And so I don't think they're going to be nitpicking about what they already have on the roster when it comes to these picks.
I guess the way out of that is if you find a guy, tackle or cornerback, who you really love and you think will probably be there in the third round, a guy you kind of target and kind of a circle on the board. And if you find that guy, you're pretty confident that can be a guy for you, and you think he won't, you know, he'll still be there in the third round, then you can draft the best player available at 44. But that requires finding that guy that you really have a connection with and are confident can be a player for you before too long.
Yeah, it's always a dice roll, obviously. Like, you know, there's always going to be guys that fall unexpectedly, but, you know, maybe some guys that were on our list. Roger Rosengarten from Washington, he was their starting right tackle for a couple years. Blake Fisher from Notre Dame was also their starting right tackle. My guy from Yale, Kieran something. Woo! From Yale.
Love that guy.
You know, he's another guy that's like mocked to go in the third round, but you know, there could be some guys that have like starter upside. They probably won't be ready to play this year, but you know, if they're confident enough in Thayer Munford and think that he can be a solid starter at right tackle, which, you know, I mean, he played at a decent level, I thought, when he was out there last season, so it wouldn't be the craziest thought in the world. Because even if they don't feel like they need a starter, they at least need some type of depth at offensive tackle. Like, they don't have like even like a swing tackle on the roster right now. So they have to add somebody there, whether it's through the draft or free agency, and you know, that type of guy you could pick up in the third round.
That's right. They lost Brandon Parker, man. Sad.
49ers. Ted's going to be checking them out every week.
Best swing tackle in on the West Coast.
But Vic, you love your Yale guy, even though, it, in your words, he played against future Wall Streeters.
Hey man, he dominated, bro.
You know,
all I can do is dominate.
Guys, there's not names on which blurbs both of you guys have written, but there's just I have a certain way of when I'm editing a story of knowing which ones have been written by Vic. There was another guy from an FCS school. I took this one out, but that guy played against future bar bouncers.
That one got cut.
That one got cut.
God,
yeah.
Damn it. Yeah, I'm a smart ass. I can't help it. But all I can do is dominate the guys you go against. I mean, he can't control who's blocking. So kudos to him.
Did he absolutely dominate?
He did dominate. Just okay, kill people.
You ready for questions?
Yeah, let's go, man. Get some questions.
Vic threw out the call, and let's see what we got here. From Lead Tier, what are the odds they do not draft a QB in the first three rounds?
We're going again. Percentages?
Oh, percentages, baby.
Let's go. Who's
in
first?
The first three rounds.
That they don't draft a quarterback in the first three rounds.
They don't.
I'll go first. 51%.
So you don't think they're drafting a quarterback in the first three rounds?
I think it's a toss-up, but I'm going to say the way it falls, I'll say no. I'm saying Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, let's go. Let's rock. Big battle. The nation will be excited. Let's go.
I'll go 33%.
I'll say 60%.
Wow.
Just to get over Vic. Just,
God dang it.
Because the board's not going to fall where they want it to. First four picks are going to be quarterbacks. And then you're going to have to wait till 44th. And I don't think Penix is going to make it to 44. And then who knows if Rattler's there, if they're going to even pick him, or if he gets drafted by a team ahead of him. So I would say there's a pretty high chance they don't get quarterback early.
I'll go 60.1.
Man, that's why the price is right, man. When you go first, you always lose, man. RIP Bob Barker.
All right. From Ain't No Thin Nice, is there a realistic position or player outside of QB, O-line, and cornerback you could see the Raiders selecting at 13?
Guard, I guess, depending on who you –
That's an O-line, dude. That's an O-line.
Because there's a couple guys.
That would be an offensive lineman.
Come on, man.
I thought he said offensive tackle.
Offensive lineman.
Offensive lineman is multiple positions, so that's kind
of
cheating.
Well, I mean, this draft has a lot of guys that are like college tackles that project at guard, or, you know, tackles that project at center. There's a lot of like fluid offensive lineman in this draft.
So what's the question?
Would be surprising at 13.
What was the question? What are the chances, or what position would it be? What was the question?
Is there a realistic position or player outside of quarterback, offensive line, and cornerback? None of those top three receivers are gonna fall to 13.
What if one of them fell? I think you have to, right?
No.
What?
No.
You could trade out of it.
It's not happening.
The only guy I could think of, and it's probably, he might even be gone by then, be Byron Murphy, just because he's such a good player. Might be the best defensive player on the board. If for some reason he was there at 13, I could see. But that's the only guy that comes to mind as far as a non-O lineman, quarterback, or cornerback.
I don't see them going like edge rusher, for example, because just took Tyree Wilson pretty high last year. I know it was a different regime, but still, you know, paying him a good amount of money guaranteed. So I feel like you got to give him a little bit more rope. And I think they feel pretty good about Malcolm Kuntz and think he can keep up what he showed at the end of last season. So, yeah, defensive tackle is really the only one where, you know, while they re-signed John Jenkins and Adam Butler, like, I don't think either one of those guys is like a long-term solution at that position. So you know, if you think Murphy can start right away and be a starter for 10 years or whatever, then, you know, I guess you could make that one make sense.
I can't see any world in which those receivers are there. Those top three receivers are so freaking good.
I mean, even if they are, I just don't think it, like, it just doesn't really make sense. Like, especially because you restructured Jacoby Myers. Obviously, Devontae's there. Like, are you going to draft a slot receiver?
But how long is Devontae there for? It's his age. I mean, his contract, you know. I mean, we'll see. What did Telesco, one thing he said at his press conference was that he went into his first draft with the Chargers thinking receiver was a position they were set at, and they end up drafting Keenan Allen and expected to redshirt him, and by week one, he was a starter and was Rookie of the Year.
He's giving us recipes, man. We should listen to what he says, man.
Come on. We pretended like Telesco said nothing, and he gave us one little nugget.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That leads to this question about Telesco from professional golf bettor. Why should we trust Telesco to make the right draft picks when he failed over and over in LA? Feels like hiring him for round two was a lot like giving McDaniels a second try.
I got this one. Because you have no choice.
There you go.
You have no choice. I like it.
That's a pretty harsh question, man. The guy just, I didn't fail as a drafter with the Chargers. I mean, he had some good picks. I mean, I know deeper in the draft, he didn't do great, but I don't know if his record's that bad.
He was with an organization that was never willing to invest in the coaching staff either. I mean, he, you know, they just basically had to keep hiring, you know, first-time head coaches that would, you know, would take a $3.5-4 million salary and until they get rid of him, and then they go and bring in Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, just in terms of drafting, I mean, obviously he has some misses like everybody else. Kenneth Murray and old friend Jerry Tiller come to mind, but
his last first rounder, Quentin Johnson, was terrible as a rookie.
Yeah, you know. So, first year guy, so maybe he can turn it around. You know, we've seen that before. But like his first round picks, I think his track record is pretty good. I think where people criticize him is, you know, from my understanding, the later rounds. Like they don't tend to do too well on day two or day three, which obviously isn't a good thing.
He's kind of in a fail-safe position here because what can he really do that people would say he screwed up? Like if you go for a quarterback, no one's going to be too mad. Everybody wants a quarterback. If you pay a price and people, okay. If you draft a tackle, I think people will be okay with that. If you draft a cornerback, I think people are going to be okay. I'm not sure what move he can make in this first round that's going to be, you know, oh my God, dude, freaking guy blew it. I don't know what he can do at this point. I mean, we'll see down the road.
If that person ends up being awful.
Have you ever followed the Raiders draft?
I'm talking about immediate reactions.
There's a million ways this thing can go.
You cannot lose.
Stop. I'm saying down the road, yeah, we can say, hey, the guy screwed up. But right, like a couple days from now, or say Friday, I mean, what move can he make that we're going to say, oh, that was a terrible pick?
Whereas, I don't think the fans are talking about like the day of the draft.
Well, no, when the Raiders picked Leatherwood, everyone, like we were on, I was in here, we were all saying, hey, that's a bad pick. So, I mean, you know right away.
What if they pick like Jordan Morgan, you know, who's like an end of the first round, early Jordan second round Morgan. Guy at 13? Wow. I'm just throwing out a name. Like,
I didn't say it's impossible.
That would be an Alex Leatherwood like pick, where it was a guy who was a projected like rounder that they take at 13.
Yeah, if he takes Jordan Morgan in the first round, go ahead and storm the building. That's fine. I'm just saying, I think they look at the logical possibilities, and I'm not sure any of them are that controversial, really, at this point.
What if he takes Penix at 13? You're okay with that?
I wouldn't be, but I wouldn't hate it because I know, I mean, you need a quarterback. You've told yourself you have a chance. There's very few chances to get in a guy who might be a franchise quarterback. So I get rolling the dice. I think it's bad value. I think there's still question marks about him, but I get it. I mean, you know, Antonio Pierce has been pretty clear. He wants a quarterback, a guy you can build around. And so if you think he's that guy and you want to pay a price for it, it's a little rash in my opinion, but I understand it. I mean, like you have talked about this draft, there aren't that many chances to get a guy who might be, you know, a franchise guy. So if you have one at 13, I'm not going to rip you to shreds for taking a shot.
So there's plenty of ways that he could fuck up is basically his team.
Well, Vic has confirmed he will not write a column ripping Tom Telesco after this draft. So,
Tom, you can do whatever you want,
Tom.
Jordan Palmer or Jordan Morgan?
Jordan Morgan.
If it takes Jordan Morgan, I'm ripping the dude. I'm ripping the guy hard.
Jordan Palmer.
That's the guy on the Bachelor, right? It's the Bachelor.
Isn't that Palmer's brother, Jordan Palmer?
No, who's the guy on the Bachelor?
Yeah. QB coach.
Jesse
now.
Palmer. My bad, Jesse Palmer.
Vic loves the Bachelor. Remember when you tried to write about the Bachelor for the Athletic, and that speaking of getting ripped to shreds, you got ripped to shreds for that one.
The first one did pretty well, but because there was a Raider guy on this freaking show, turns out he was gay, but I didn't know at the time he was gay, so.
I did not hear about any of this.
Yeah, he came out of the closet like a few years later after he was on The Bachelor. What was my guy's name?
Colton Underwood?
That's my guy, Colton Underwood, yeah.
That was him?
That was him.
Wow.
Raiders tight end, right?
Did he spend like a training camp with him? It wasn't there.
Practice squad.
Wasn't there long.
No, he was there for a year. Practice squad.
Was he? Was he? Okay.
Yeah, because he became friends with Shelby Harris, and Shelby was my guest commentator on the column. Shelby and I would watch the show. That was a fun project.
I think it lasted 1 week here.
I think we had a good 3 weeks in this. And fans were like, what the hell are we doing here? And I'm like, yeah, you're right. We took a shot. It didn't work.
All right, we've got completely off the rails here.
All right, let's get one more question in here from Denation. Says it's been too long, but he also says, we all know the Raiders need a number one DB. Can you explain the thoughts on Jakorian Bennett? Is he struggling? Is he just not him? Or better things expected in 2024?
I think he has a lot of traits that are hard to find. He has the physical skill set you want. He's a physical corner. I think he needs more playing time, and he needs to be developed. And I think the Raiders tried to do that early in the season, but he struggled. So I think there's still hope for him, but I would think it's foolish to just bank on him taking that big of a jump. I think you have him in the wings, you try to develop him, but I don't think that he showed enough for you to just go into next year thinking that this guy is going to turn into a cornerback one. But I do think there's still hope, a lot of hope for Bennett, because I think he's a very talented player with skill, a physical skill set that is difficult to find.
I'm pretty sure both AP and Tom Telesco have like brought him up like unprompted as one of the guys who were around for most of the offseason. They had a bunch of dozens of players that stayed in Vegas to kind of do workouts on their own, and he was one of them, and they were saying he looks really good physically. I think that was his biggest issue last year outside of growing pains, was he couldn't stay healthy either, whether that was in the offseason or during the season. And I think they feel pretty good about him. Like amongst their non-Jack Jones, non-Nate Hobbs cornerbacks, they probably feel the best about him and his ability to, compete for a starting role. I still think that's a spot they'll look to bring in some competition.
Yeah, I agree. He has upside. I think he's going to make the roster regardless, and both guys appraise him. But if you can get a guy like Arnold and Mitchell in the first round, that's not really – Jaquan Bennett's development doesn't really – it's not important as far as that topic goes. If you can get a top cornerback, then Jakorian can develop as your number four guy, and I'm sure there's tons of upside. But those top two guys in the draft are kind of hard to come by. So I don't think that really matters as far as how Jakorian's doing.
All right, guys, we got any final thoughts here on the draft heading into Thursday?
Final thoughts on the draft. We covered everything, man. Look, people are really well informed. Jordan Palmer, that's his name.
We're going to let you figure that one out. We're going to see if that can come back to you.
Is he a lineman?
Yeah.
He's actually pretty good. We're shitting on him.
Yeah.
He's a good player.
He's like an end of the first round, maybe spills into the second round type of guy.
So they trade down from 13, get this guy. They're not trading down?
No. Unless he becomes a Pro Bowler and then somebody clips this podcast.
Why wouldn't they trade down? Because he's never traded down in fucking 15 years.
Maybe he wants to. There are things you all haven't done in our lives you want to try. I'm sure you have a list of things you want to try.
Name one for us, Vic. What is one thing you haven't done? I mean, you brought it up. Like, I'd love to hear it.
What's one thing I haven't done that I want to try? Let me think.
Skydiving.
Nah, I'd freaking die. I have a heart attack midair. I want to run with the Bulls. How about that? There you go.
That's not risk of death there.
Yeah, skydiving is safer than running with the Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be smart about it. I'm not going to be like in the middle of the freaking arena. I'd pick my spots.
Next offseason, we're sending you.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's in PC anymore. That been canceled? They've probably been canceled the last few years. I'm sure that's not really the way that – I'm not sure they still do that, do they? I'm not sure.
I think that article will get a lot of subscribers. Vic's experience running with the Bulls.
Gored by Bull.
That would get a lot of hits.
Sure. Oh, you guys going? Give me. What's your thing you haven't done? You want to try? Let's go.
I want to play Pebble Beach.
All right, Ted.
I want to watch a whole game from the sideline. I think that'd be fun.
You guys are going pretty low bar here, man.
Something I want to do that I've never done. Win the lottery. What the fuck?
What do you mean? I want to be rich.
Man. All right. I'm telling you, man.
And I can do whatever I want once I do that. You know?
Telesco wants to know how it feels to trade down, man. This draft, Tom Telesco will trade down. Boom. Print it. Somewhere in the draft.
Bold prediction.
For Palmer.
If maybe, man, who knows?
Morgan, come on.
Morgan, sorry, Morgan.
Get it right.
I'm sure your fans are like, man, you guys talk too much, man.
They're glad the show is over now.
Yeah, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, it's time for the show to end.
Watch King.
All right, stay tuned. Like we said, we'll definitely have an announcement, I think, at some point pretty soon about where we're going and a new platform and a new name and all that good stuff. But thanks for listening. Thanks to shout out to Brian Smith, our producer, doing some great work for us behind the scenes. I really appreciate Brian. And thanks to all you guys for listening. It's been a lot of fun.
Appreciate y'all for the support over the years. Shouts out again to Jimmy for the promotion. You know, he's wealthy now. Got our producer, Brian, still around. Appreciate the work he's put in over the years. Ted, you know, all the showing up late and taking shits mid-podcast and stuff like that. Vic, beautiful vocals, you know, singing every now and then and little darling stories. So it's been a fun ride.
I don't know, Vic, any farewell songs for us?
Nah, I was thinking about it. I couldn't find the right song to capture my emotions. So I'm sure Brian's got one he can play on recording. One of the classics.
How about Boys to Men?
You know what? I can't pull off Boys to Men. No end of the road. Plus, it's not the end of the road, right? The road's just taking a little detour.
I'm hopping off the road. You guys are continuing on.
All right, man. You should sing then. Why don't you sing?
No.
Our producer will cue up the greatest hits of Vic's greatest hits from singing over the years, and that'll be the end of this episode.
That's
be
beautiful. Post-production. I can't wait to hear that.
All right, guys. Well, I will. I look forward to listening to you guys wherever you guys end up. And how long have we been doing this? I mean, I think 2019 about 2018, 2019 is when we started.
Yeah, I joined in 2020, but I think I think you guys had it going for a couple of years.
Neither 18 or 19.
We did the first year. My first year was seven. What was 17? Was 17.
We did that. You and I had that. It was a Marcus Thompson idea that had wasn't terrible, but we did that 3rd and 20 podcast with UB and Lombardi where we did 20 minutes talking about the Raiders.
I blocked that out.
20 minutes talking about the Niners and then 20 minutes talking about the rest of the league. It's a big Marcus Thompson idea. He even designed the art for us.
Shout out to Marcus Thompson. Yeah. That was a terrible idea, though. Shout out to Marcus. Awful idea.
Yeah. Vic and I had lunch at the end of that season, and Vic's just like, listen, we got to branch out. We Raiders only pod. Let's branch out, and that's what we did.
There you go. All right. Well, looking forward to the draft. Looking forward to having some answers to all our predictions.
All right, guys.
All right, y'all. Peace.
Adios. The head of the lion has kind of been cut off, but it's like a zombie lion. I don't know. Sometimes.
We know Hoyer has like a zombie arm, half dead, you know, like they had to resurrect him.
Kind of seems like he's a little too light in the ass to be a guard full time. Probably needs to be a center.
Matthew Udon, who has 14 and a half sacks.
I think there's a little bit of a warm sensation on his bum right now, probably, I think. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Country roads take me home to the place I belong.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. Got Bush?
It'd be clear skies for your ass whooping. I mean, it's the fuck that changes.
Bye, Derek Carr. Goodbye, State of the Nation.